Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of The Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keep for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
My name's James, aka FPL Drug. Wow, happy St. Patrick's Day to our Irish listeners across the world, and I'm going to crack open a Guinness.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. Oh, yeah. For those watching on YouTube, they'll get to see the perfect pour from a can. Oh, mate, that looks sexual. Honestly, I wish I had a beer right now because I've got my blackcurrant squash.
Taking me some time to pour this.
Absolutely. This is great for the audio, mate. Start as we mean to go on. Watch James pour a fucking Guinness. Oh, right to the top. Yeah, you're going to have to leave that
to settle now.
Just going to say, leave it for another 15 minutes. You can come back to that when we're on the Sky chat. I see you're wearing your birthday present that finally arrived, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's all right. We're
match. brilliant. So, obviously, we've got a short game week approaching us, but we've had a decent full schedule just gone. So let's get stuck into it.
I think we should, yeah. Jump straight in then, in a game that pissed me off right at the end, to be honest. It was Newcastle 1, Aston Villa 1.
Heartbreak for those of us who own Martinez, Villa defenders. I mean, you're kind of banking on a clean sheet against this Newcastle team without Callum Wilson. And for it to go so close to the end of the game is heartbreaking, isn't it, Matt?
Mate, I was fucking raging. I was already annoyed that Matty Target had his assist taken away from him from his Watkins goal, because then it was obviously deemed as an own goal, Watkins assist. So I had to deal with that. And 5 minutes later, fucking Jamal Lascelles popped up with a 94th minute equaliser. I was already celebrating the fact that I had like 12 points from Target, 8 points from fucking Martinez. Martinez was my captain in Sky. Nah, none of that. And the fact that you text me 20 seconds before it even fucking happened. So the moment I saw the cross, I was like, yeah, here it is. Already fuming.
Yeah, sorry for the spoiler. But yeah, no, a big moment for the community that was. But he'll get you loads of points over the season, so it's not worth worrying about.
Nah, and to be fair, Target still got 2 bonus points. So, you know, 4 points wasn't too bad.
He's flying ever since I took him up. So, yeah, credit.
Massive point for Newcastle, though. They needed it.
Yeah, very much needed, because they were getting closer and closer to that sort of drop zone. And any points that they can pick up are going to be crucial from now until the end of the season, because until they get Wilson back, it's going to be hard, because they're going to get into the habit of losing games. Like, even with Wilson back, they might not straight away hit the ground running.
No, exactly. Whereas, obviously, Aston Villa are still missing Grealish. Apparently, he was ill this week after his injury. Sounds a bit dubious, but we'll have to see if he actually makes it this weekend. But, yeah, they're just missing that talisman at the moment, Aston Villa, and they've looked a little bit lackluster going forward. Obviously, Watkins got the assist for the OG this time, but it was quite fortunate. And other than that, they haven't looked particularly threatening. Traore obviously went off with a rib injury, I think, after colliding with the hoardings. So that isn't great. So this weekend, obviously, they play Spurs. Now, if they've got no Grealish, they've got no Traore, it could be a worry for them.
Yeah, they've looked very lacklustre going forward. I knew Grealish had a big impact on the team, but until he's actually injured, you don't really see how much of an impact he has, not only on just on the whole play of Villa. Like, they just look so uninspired going forward. And the only thing I think they have going for them is the fact that Spurs are in a bit of a sort of a bad patch at the moment. I think Spurs that are firing would turn Villa over, but I think it might actually be a close game.
Exactly. Obviously, we'll get on to that. But yeah, it was definitely not the Spurs performance that we expected this weekend, was it? All right, let's jump on to a game that we thought was going to be an absolute thriller and ended up not being that great, was it? It was Leeds 0, Chelsea 0.
Yeah, I mean, the game started with promise, a bit of the typical end-to-end attacking that you see from a Leeds game. But then it started to sort of fizzle out. I think that kind of essentially could have been the result of Bamford going off. Obviously, people thought he was going to make it. He was going to carry on, but then he pulled up again. But it looks like he should be okay for the weekend. It's just a case of a kind of a dead leg, really. So those of you who've got him in your team, by all means, keep him. Don't take him out. I'm sure there's plenty of other people that aren't playing this week that you could remove.
Exactly that. And obviously, Meslier made 8 saves in this game, so picked up maximum bonus. But once again, Chelsea keep a clean sheet, and Tuchel seems to have got them firing at the back, albeit they're nowhere near as productive going forward. I think is it 12 goals that they scored in their 10 games or something? I'm sure I heard that stat, but it's around that figure, and it's not great.
No, yeah, as impressive as they are at the back, they are somewhat lacking up top. I mean, it would help if Werner put his chances away. he gets quite a few of them. I mean, the goals tend to be coming from midfield through sort of Mount, mainly. He's obviously impressed. A lot of people brought him in for this game, and I don't blame them. It looked a good move, but he didn't get anything. But yeah, I think the people on wildcards will be looking to bring in a Chelsea defender or two. I mean, the players that are punting will potentially go free at the back. I'd take like Azpilicueta at the very least. Maybe throw in Thiago Silva when he comes back, but I think Azpilicueta is all you need, really. I think.
Yeah, I think Azpilicueta or Rudiger for me would probably be the two names that I'd go to. I wouldn't go to the fullbacks at all, because the rotation between them seems quite frequent at the moment, obviously, between Chilwell, Hudson-Odoi, Reece James, and it depends on the formation as well. It looked like they played a four at the back this weekend, obviously, against Leeds, which is the first time they've done that. So even that has you a little bit worried as to who might feature. Whereas, I think the two most nailed players, Rudiger's obviously been rested once, but the two most nailed for me at the back would be Azpilicueta and Rudiger.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a great price for Rudiger. If you want more of a chance of sort of free bonus and maybe an assist, then you go Azpilicueta.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fullbacks, no go due to the rotation. I mean, Chilwell came back this game, but as you say, it's you can't be sure.
No, you can't. Right, let's move on to a massive 3 points for Crystal Palace. It was Crystal Palace 1, West Brom 0.
Bit of a throwback to last season and the season before, with Milivojevic scoring a pen, which Zaha won. Very much needed win for Crystal Palace. They've been struggling to sort of pick up points. And obviously a game against sort of like West Brom is the game where you'd expect them to get some points. Yeah. And they've brought them home. I mean, we'd be worrying for them if they lost this game.
Yeah, we would, definitely. I think it was 3 points that probably secures their safety for the Premier League next season, to be honest.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to dwell on that game, to be honest. So let's move on to something that was a little bit more exciting. It was Everton 1, Burnley 2.
Yeah, unexpected. Did not see this one coming. Fancied Everton in this game. But credit to Burnley, they've gone to Goodison, and well, Dwight McNeil scored a fantastic goal.
Stunning finish, absolutely stunning.
Absolutely preach. Yeah, just curls it right into the top corner. No chance of Pickford getting that. We like to slag him off, but but actually got an injury, didn't he, later in the game?
Yeah, Virginia came on.
Yeah, West Virginia. He did okay when he came on, in fairness to him.
Right.
What's happened to Stekelenburg? Is he, not Stekelenburg, the other one. What's his name? The injured. Olsen, is it?
Olsen, yeah, I'm not sure. It took me by surprise, because I know that Ancelotti mentioned that he may well rotate his keepers, obviously, between that comment and the end of the season. But yeah, to then not see Olsen, I'd have to check. But yeah, it took me a bit by surprise when I saw Virginia, because to be honest, I'd never heard of him.
No, neither had I. But very, very, very impressive win for Burnley.
Well, big talking point was obviously Calvert-Lewin finally got on the score sheet again, rewarding all of us owners that have held on through the turbulent spell.
Yeah, our patience was running thin. I mean, this is his last chance saloon, really. Otherwise, he was going out. And he probably, in fairness, will still go out of my team because he doesn't play in 29.
Agreed.
I'm looking to wild card after 29.
There we go. Yeah, well, we can talk about those moves afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and then obviously the final game of the Saturday, it was Fulham nil, Manchester City three.
That man, John Stones again.
Yes, then.
Both own him, thankfully. One member of the FPL community doesn't. Randy Schaffner.
Mate, I fucking love that man's tweets.
Yeah, great tweets. If
So
you've
good.
not, for those of you that don't know about this Twitter account, he basically just hates John Stones and goes on massive rants about him every time he scores, and they're quite fun to read.
Well worth a read for sure. And obviously,
Yeah.
Cancelo got the assist, got three bonus points, got his clean sheet. It was a tidy haul for both those defenders, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Bloody
Yeah, cracking.
cancel.
Absolutely cracking. There seems to be this rumor that obviously Sterling and Pep have had a bit of a barmy behind closed doors because he seemed to be a little bit annoyed that he wasn't part of the squad the week or wasn't part of the starting lineup the week before. Obviously, Raz has then come out on Twitter and said that that isn't true, blah, blah, blah. But reading The Athletic, and I'm a member of that, it does seem like quite a few insiders in the club are aware that Sterling has had a conversation with Guardiola.
Interesting. I mean, to be honest, I was quite shocked about the amount of people that keep captaining Sterling and keep
Same.
or even owning him. I don't even appeal of owning him, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't go near him.
Just not for me. He's not the Sterling from a couple of seasons ago where you got that consistency of returns and starts, whereas you don't think you have either of those now.
No, and obviously the other big talking point is the fact that Aguero managed to score obviously from the penalty spot, which is good to see. Finally ended that drab run of not scoring predominantly because obviously he's been injured for most of the season, but it was good to see him getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, it might help his confidence. It's a psychological thing. He's got that goal, even if it is from a pen. Might help him go on to a bit of a run of form.
You'd hope so.
I hope so. I like him. He's a good player.
Although it was interesting, did you see the Champions League game last night? Obviously, we're recording on Wednesday the 17th. But Man City's lineup last night, once again, there was no striker.
Yeah.
But it feels like that's probably City's best 11, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think so. It's very, very impressive performance from them. They had the game wrapped up within like the first sort of 20 minutes, to be honest.
Oh yeah, it was easy from then, and obviously Pep had the opportunity to then take five players off because Champions League rules, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like sort of a month or so ago struggling to sort of get goals. They were tight at the back, but they were struggling to score. However, this formation, they've got two goals against a decent Gladbach side in the first sort of quarter of the game. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think this could be their best formation, especially with sort of like Jesus and Aguero not looking their best. I don't see why not.
And it does make me miss Kevin De Bruyne, watching him cut inside on his supposedly weaker left foot yesterday. To put that top bins from where he was, if he's going to be playing in that position between now and the end of the season, I might need to get him back.
Yeah, fantastic goal. As soon as that went in, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Why isn't he in my
I
team?
know
That was
exactly.
going through my
It's
head.
stunning.
And yeah, that's the Kevin De Bruyne we all know and love. Not the Kevin we see sort of the past few weeks where he's getting frustrated, not taking his chances, not looking confident. That right there is him all over that goal. Superb.
Exactly. Right. Let's pull it back to the FPL games then. And obviously the first game on Sunday was a frustrating one. It was Southampton 1, Brighton 2.
Yeah, another frustrating performance for us. mainly due to the fact that we probably could have got something out of this game.
I think we should have.
I think so. Fantastic goal by Shay Adams. I know probably not in many people's teams now, I'd say.
He's only 5% owned.
Yeah, exactly. And credit to him, he's looked quite good the last couple of games. Now playing for Scotland.
I was fucking buzzing about that. I think Southampton put a tweet out saying, "Armstrong, you've got company," and then obviously tweeted out the squad. But yeah, I'm glad to see it, to be honest. He's obviously had conversations behind closed doors there, and then they've agreed that he's obviously got Scottish roots in his family, and he's never going to get the call up for England, so why not? And he might end up at the Euros.
Yeah, exactly. It's a win-win situation for him. He's nowhere near the England squad, so why not give the Scotland squad a go? I never knew he had Scottish ancestry, but
neither did I until
I had no idea.
I should know that being a Scot, to be honest, but given Scotland's forward options aren't the best at times, I think to have someone like Che Adams, if you can get him on form, I think it'll be a real quality addition to the squad.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they need him.
Yeah. Whereas obviously frustration was the fact that Lewis Dunk got a fucking goal in this game.
More happiness for me. I own him in official FPL and Sky. So very weird emotion as it hit the net. Initially, I'm fuming, I'm pissed off, and then I'm like, oh, it's Dunk. I mean, if anyone's going to score, let it be him. But yeah, no, a lot of people have brought him in the Sky game, obviously, because of the way the fixtures fall, which is benefiting owners massively. But myself, I also obviously own him in FPL, mainly down to the fact that they have a fixture in 29. Otherwise, I don't think I'd have gone near him.
No.
Despite like their recent good defensive form, I wouldn't have gone near him. What I found quite interesting, I was watching the Black Box, you know, AZ or whatever his name is, and Mark Evans's pod. They're actually like top of the XG for both sort of, both defending, attacking, and then goals conceded stats as well. Okay. So strange for a team to be doing so well, but... in terms of stats, but not actually in terms of performance.
Yeah, I think we've been saying that for quite a while, haven't we, about Brighton, that it's all well and good they create the chances, but that they're just not putting them away at the moment. And unfortunately, they managed to put two away at the weekend.
Yeah, it's always us, isn't it?
Yeah, always us. Right, let's jump on then. And Sheffield United, obviously losing 5-0 to Leicester this weekend. And that comes after Chris Wilder leaving the club.
Yeah, very much sort of almost sends a message out, doesn't it, really? Wilder goes, and then they put in this performance. Not good for Sheffield United. You'd argue Wilder would have took them straight back up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get that the reason behind him going is there's been a bit of a falling out with the board. They wanted to bring in a director of football. He very much doesn't want that. They couldn't, you know, meet grounds and he's left. But Chris Wilder is exactly the type of manager you'd want in the Championship. You know, he's been there, he's done it, he's brought them up before. He could easily do it again with the squad that he's got. And they haven't been spanked this season. So it's amusing it's unfair on Sheffield United fans, but it is amusing to see that he goes and then suddenly they do get smashed, because I think Chris Wilder's influence for that squad is incredible.
Yeah, agreed. I think they're much stronger with him. Obviously, it's not been a good season for them, but you look at last season, what he did was exceptional. You wouldn't even think that would be possible with the squad he had. And then you look at, say, Daniel Farke's Norwich and how they've responded to going down and how they look set to go back up. Maybe the Sheffield United fans want that kind of patience from their board, contrasted to, say, Norwich, where they've actually had that patience. It just seems a strange time. You should have sacked him a long time ago if you're going to sack him.
Exactly. They should have had this director of football discussion at the beginning of the season, because it could have been a different story. You know, and I very much doubt it would have been. But yeah, I think it all stems from the fact that they've obviously brought in record signing Rian Brewster, which was, you know, Wilder's decision. It's not gone well. And now the board are thinking, ah, well, maybe we need someone in to make those decisions for you. Now, a manager or some managers don't like that. And obviously Wilder's turned around and said, no, I want the squad that I want to be what I pick. Now, that's not to say Rian Brewster will probably smash it in the championship. Like, I fully expect him, if he stays, which he should, to go mental there, because he's a good player. It's just he hasn't settled well into the Premier League with this squad.
No, agreed. It'd be interesting to see exactly how many goals he does get in the championship, yeah. To be honest.
And this result for Leicester is huge. And obviously, Ian Archer with a hat-trick, Vardy with a hat-trick of assists, their partnership continues to grow.
Yeah, very impressive, especially considering, obviously, the absence of, say, the likes of sort of Barnes and Maddison.
Yep.
For them to still go out there and put in a display like this, credit to them. Quite an emotional sort of interview with Ian Acho after the game. Obviously got a hat trick. He lost his mother and he performed well on Mother's Day, credit to him. Someone I really liked at Man City, who I felt went off the boil, but maybe this is a sort of a new dawn for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Leicester continue to approach for the rest of the season, obviously when the likes of Harvey Barnes come back, because I think those injuries have allowed for this formation to develop and this partnership to grow. But whether they stick with it when, you know, the likes of Maddison and Barnes come back, we'll have to wait and see. But if they do, Ian Archer is a real, real option at 5.6 million. At the moment, he's only 1.7% owned. The hilarity is thousands and thousands of people have already brought him in for blank game week 29. But I had this discussion with someone on Twitter, and it 100% proves how many bots are playing the FPL game, because surely people aren't that stupid to be bringing in all of these players that don't play.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely bots. Like, I doubt there's that many casual idiots. I mean, there could be, but we'll see.
Right, let's move on to the derby then. And it was Arsenal 2, Spurs 1.
Yeah, result I wasn't particularly expecting. I expected a close game, but more kind of a narrow Spurs victory or a draw is what I was sort of predicting, so to speak. But yeah, credit to Arsenal. Very impressed, obviously, Odegaard getting his first career goal for anyone.
Yep.
Good for him. Maybe that might give him a bit of confidence. I mean, obviously, don't rush to bring him into your team, but it's good to see for him. He's obviously a young lad that a lot of people expected big things from when he was at Madrid at such a young age. So I think Arsenal's a good place for him to develop.
No, agreed. Yeah, and obviously the big news at the start of the game was the fact that Aubameyang missed out due to disciplinary reasons. I think the rumours were he was late, so obviously they've kept him on the bench. But then apparently afterwards, during the interviews with both Mourinho and Arteta, Aubameyang then, you can hear him like leave the ground in his car. He's apparently got one of these Lamborghinis that, you know, makes some noise. And yeah, people are obviously stating that he's left the ground, obviously, before Arteta's even finished his interview. So if that's the case, it'll be interesting to see if this disciplinary proceeding goes any further.
Well, yeah, I think they should look into it, because like that attitude is just not acceptable.
Yeah,
I mean, you saw the likes
of captain,
exactly. Yeah, and you saw the likes of him and like Willian getting dropped previously. And yeah, I completely stand with Arteta on this. Like, no player is bigger than any club.
No.
And by the looks of it, based on his actions, he thinks he is.
Yeah, it's not great at all. I mean, obviously, Spurs for me were incredibly poor in this game. It's almost as if they were set up to just stagnate Arsenal rather than go for it, obviously, like they have. And yeah, they've played poorer teams in the past. But the last five games, Spurs have looked really good going forward, obviously, with the likes of Bale, Son, Kane, you know, Lucas Moura. Whereas even before Son's injury, it looked slow. And then obviously Son picked up a hamstring injury. We're unsure whether he's going to play at the weekend, because Mourinho's comments aren't, as always, you know, aren't the most obvious. He doesn't exactly come out and say, yeah, he's fit, yeah, he's not playing. They're quite cryptic, about whether he starts because he's starting to mention your internationals and well, if he plays at the weekend, then obviously he's going to have to play for South Korea, but how do we prove an injury and blah, blah, blah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some miss out, which will be frustrating given a lot of us own him. But Eric Lamella had one hell of a game, didn't he? He was obviously benched to start with, then comes on, then scores a Rabona, like an unbelievable goal, and then gets sent off.
Yeah, a real roller coaster for the two people that own him in FPL.
Yeah,
fantastic goal. I mean, he's got previous with this. I think I'm pretty sure he scored one before.
He did. It was in the, I think it was in the Champions League.
Yeah. So he's quite a good technical footballer, and fair play to him. But yeah, lost his head there with the sending off. you just got to laugh. It's just such a ridiculous sort of run of events for a player, really.
Oh, and I heard an amusing comment on another football pod that I listened to. Not an FPL pod, I think. It might have been the Guardian pod. But they had obviously heard comments that people were slating Lamella's goal online because they were saying that you will only do a Rabona when you don't have another foot. Like, fuck off. Are you joking me? So in that moment, are you saying because he's not got a right foot, he thought, you know what, I'm going to have to Rabona this with my left? No. No.
Come on. And he fucking nutmegs the guy. Like, it's a sensational goal.
Oh, it is.
In the corner. Perfect.
There's no football.
Yeah, I'm not having that.
No. It made me laugh out loud when I heard that comment. And I was like, really? Is there actually people saying that? So what would they suggest for an overhead kick then? Are they saying that they haven't got the touch to bring it down, so they're going to do an overhead kick and put it into the top corner? Because, you know, when Bale did that in the Champions League, did people really criticise that?
Yeah, exactly. You could criticise any goal. You'd be like, an overhead kick, you're just facing the wrong way, so it's easier to kick the ball like that. What's talking of Bale, I think it's a questionable decision to take him off so early.
Yeah, he did go missing, though. He wasn't great at all. But in fairness, I don't think anybody for Spurs was particularly impressive.
No, I don't think he was the problem. I think it was more the sort of style of football they were playing, the formation, not him as an individual. Yeah. So I feel like he's always someone you want on your team that can give that spark, that bit of creativity, like especially when you've not got Son on the pitch. I think it's a bit much to then not have Son and Bale.
Yeah, I agree. He looked a bit shocked when he was being brought off, but it's been a common feature in Spurs games. He keeps getting hooked early, but this just felt too early.
Mm. Well, yeah, especially in the North London derby, he's obviously up for it. Like, I don't think that was a good decision, but
no, not at all. Right, final game, obviously on the Sunday, and it was very defensive for much of the game, to be honest. It was Man United 1, West Ham 0.
I'm just fucking glad Craig Dawson scored a goal, but it was an own goal on my bench this time.
I was gonna say, he's finally on your bench for an own goal.
Yeah. Love benching him for a goal. But yeah, poor Craig on the wrong side of the goal this time.
Unfortunate, to be honest. But because when I first saw it, obviously I don't own Bruno, and I didn't captain him in Sky for this week. So when I saw that he got the assist to start with, I was so worried. And then it actually turned out that it was a McTominay assist because, yeah, he got the flick on before Dawson's own goal. So I was quite thankful for that, to be honest. And then it also meant that the mighty Luke Shaw got me 9 points.
Yeah, fair play to you.
Love him.
I could see that coming. Yeah. And it hurt.
To be fair, throughout it, I think for Sky, he was man of the match as well. And it was so obvious because Gary Neville absolutely loves Luke Shaw this season. And in fairness, I can see why, because the improvement in him has been incredible. And it all almost feels like it stems from the point when United signed Telles and that position became a bit under threat. And Luke Shaw has stepped up his game so much that I think he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet now.
Yeah, and I'd say not just for Man United, but for England. I think with Chilwell becoming out of favour to some degree at Chelsea, I'd prefer Shaw to in that team.
So would I, mate. So would I. I think Luke Shaw he's probably made his way onto that plane for England, to the Euros, and I think probably should be starting.
Agreed, agreed.
All right. As for West Ham, it was a little bit disappointing. I think they were set up to defend the nil-nil for a long time, which was quite unfortunate. A lot of people, when they saw Mark Noble in the squad, instantly knew that was, the way that the game was going to be played. And it wasn't until Man United went 1-0 up that West Ham actually started to play football and looked good going forward. But it annoys me that they didn't approach the game in that way to start with, because they're a good team and they're a good footballing team. But it's almost like the name of the opposition got to them in this case. And I think if West Ham had gone for it, they could have even got a win.
Yeah, well, I think they're definitely capable. Like I was actually semi expecting them to win this game, which sounds a little bit silly, but that's why Dawson was sort of first on my bench. I could see like a clean sheet potentially happening. Admittedly, like whoever it was I favoured over him, I did pick over him. But yeah, it wouldn't have been a surprise to me if West Ham won this game.
No, not at all.
It is quite disappointing to see them start with like a Noble and just be like, all right, we'll try and sit back, try and keep it tight, see how long we can stay in the game. And really, they could take the game to United
No, absolutely.
with
Obviously,
Antonio.
Lingard obviously couldn't play because Man United is his parent club. But he'll obviously be back for the weekend, and West Ham are one of those teams that play in the blank. So I think their assets are going to be heavily owned. All right, let's jump on to the final game of this game week, and one that, in all honesty, I was quite bored watching. It was Wolves nil, Liverpool one.
Yeah, as was I. Not a good game, and not a good game if you're a Salah owner. Very frustrating to watch. Much of the same, like just this back at second half of this season, sort of the back end, the last like sort of 10 games. He's been getting the chances, but he's not been taking them.
Obviously he scored from an offside position. He managed, get Patricio made a good save when Salah, shot from the right, looked like it was going bottom corner. Patricio got a hand to it. It just doesn't seem to be paying off for Salah at the moment, and my reluctancy to sell is due to the fixture run post the blank, because arguably I think Liverpool have got probably one of the best runs to the end of the season, and I'll regret it more if I get rid of Salah and he holds than if I hold him and he doesn't. So that's part of the reason why I'm keeping him. But push comes to shove, it could end up being a Salah to KDB. It's a decision that I've got to make. And the irony is the fact that in this goal that Liverpool scored, it was the other two in that front three that got on it. It was obviously Jota against his old club got the goal, and Mane got the assist.
Yeah, obviously Jota, quite a price difference between him and Salah. So if you don't fancy Salah and you want to take a bit of a risk, then it allows you to sort of redistribute those funds through your team. And that's one of the sort of schools of thought that I'm thinking of. I either do that, what I've just said, or I keep him for that run.
And it'll be interesting to see how Liverpool's defensive ownership increases. Obviously, they got the clean sheet. Trent got three bonus points. His attack and output and the amount of crosses he puts in. If Liverpool keep a clean sheet, he's always going to be up there. So it could be interesting to see his ownership fly. Annoyingly, I had Kabak on my bench. I just couldn't find a place for him this week. I arguably probably should have played a 5-2-3, but I didn't see his clean sheet sat there, which is frustrating. But obviously, the big talking point was Patricio at the end with the clash with Connor Cody. Thankfully, it sounds like Patricio is okay. Didn't need hospital treatment. He's at home resting. So if it is concussion, he should still be back post the blank game week. So he's obviously got 2 weeks rest.
Yeah, another nasty injury for Wolves. Obviously, we had Jimenez and now Patricio. But yeah, looks like it's not as bad as what it looked initially.
Thankfully so, yeah. Right. How did you get on this game week then?
Fairly decent. I got 58 points, which saw me get a green arrow of about 80,000,
Nice.
maybe. So yeah, I'm up to 469k. My defense was particularly good. Two clean sheets for Diaz and Stones, and a dunk goal. Very handy because only 8.3% of people own him. So
yeah,
obviously helped me gain some ground. Disappointing was obviously Son and Bamford to both go off in the first half. I mean, you can't plan for these things, and you can't beat yourself up about it. It is frustrating. Like, I'm fucking swearing at the TV, but hey ho, it's an injury. You can't do anything about it.
Exactly, it is what it is. Yeah, I ended up on 64 points this week, with most of my points coming from my back line. Obviously, Cancelo got 12, Stones got 14, Shaw got 9. The rest of my squad is threes, ones, fours, and obviously DCL is six. So without that back, without those three at the back, I'd have had a dreadful game week. So I've definitely got City and United to thank for that. But I saw another 40k green arrow, so I'm up to 87k overall. It's not too bad. Finally broken into that top 100k, so would very much like to push on from here. The only issue is I don't have any chips left, so obviously wildcarders post game week 29 like yourself will be an advantage. You can plan for those tasty runs for some of those teams. I'm potentially going to have to take the odd hit to maybe jump from Man City to Chelsea, and that those kind of moves I think are the ones that we really need to go for if you want to continue to push rank this season.
Yeah, and it's been a tough season this season. It's been a strange one where kind of the template has been strong. So yeah, I'd be very happy if I were you in the top 100k.
Yeah, no, I can't complain at all. And obviously this week we've got a 6:30 deadline on Friday the 19th with Fulham versus Leeds, but there's only four fixtures to choose from. You've got Fulham, Leeds, Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham, Arsenal, Villa, Spurs. So I think it's going to be quite tough. And the way I'm set up, even with a minus four, I think I'm still only going to have eight players if obviously Son doesn't play. I think that's going to be much the same for a lot of the community, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not breaking my back to get 11 players. I think I'm going to be happy with 8 or 9 is probably what I'm going to end up on, depending on what happens with Bamford and Son.
Agreed. Yeah. Right, let's move on to the Sky game. And obviously, we've had some April fixtures, which we'll talk about. But first things first, how did you get on this week, mate?
Not too bad. My first team and second team got the same amount of points, which seems to happen quite often, despite them being pretty different teams. 81 points for both of them. 6K is the first team, 3K is the second team. Had Dunk in both, so that was great. Stones and Diaz, Azpilicueta and Martinez, so my defence was particularly strong.
Nice.
No points for Gundogan, so that was a bit of a shame. But Fernandez, DCL, get me some points. Gareth Bale I had, so obviously a bit disappointing in team one there. But thankfully not punished by like a Bale return or anything. Team two looks very boring. It's basically the same story, just slightly different. So I won't tell you about that one. Team three, the punt team. Very good week for this team. 102 points.
Nice.
Punted on Vardy captaincy, which got me 28 points. So I just fancied Vardy in that game against Sheffield United. He bloody hates them. He's a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
Yeah.
And he got 3 assists.
Very nice. Yeah. Now, I got 83 points in my main team. So I'm 31st overall, which beautiful. I'm actually a bit frustrated with because obviously I haven't made the move to go to Lewis Dunk. And honestly, I don't think I will. I'm going to be hiding. But with the amount of transfers left, I don't feel like going to Lewis Dunk would be the right decision for me, because looking at the fixtures after the Newcastle game, I really don't want him when, you know, there's other moves that I can make to, you know, Chelsea defenders, for instance, because I've got three Man City defenders at the back, Stones, Cancelo, Diaz. Thankfully, they all played. They all got good points this weekend. I'm likely, very likely to want to keep one of them after, you know, this week, probably. And I don't really want to waste the transfer and go on to Brighton. So it's a risk that I'm going to take, and it will define my season, I think, this weekend, is to whether Brighton, you know, keep a clean sheet, whether Dunk scores. If he does, I'm fucked, but I've got to accept it because I want to hold the transfers for moves that I think are worthy of points in the long term, and I just don't think Dunk is for me personally.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, there could be injuries down the line. There could be other fixtures to attack. So exactly. I don't blame you.
Nah. My second team, obviously, it's still got that one transfer left. I haven't made a transfer since overhaul. That did all right. I got 85 points. That's 159th. So it's, you know, given where it was, it's still actually holding on quite well, which is
I feel like it's still beating me, mate.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then, my third team, very much like you, Captain Vardy. That got 104 points this week. So it's not too bad. But like we said, we've obviously had those early April fixture announcements. So we've obviously got this weekend's fixtures, the four fixtures. After that, we've had the fixtures for Game Week 30. Which doesn't look too bad. However, I think Wolves are probably a team that people are going to want to target moving forward because obviously Everton play Crystal Palace, Wolves play West Ham on Monday the 5th of April. But then the following week, Fulham Wolves is on the 9th, Friday the 9th, as the single fixture. So I think the right time to go to Wolves assets will be on that April the 5th because you'll get the two fixtures from any player other than obviously the four teams that play that day. For me, and it's a move that James at Planet FPL spoke about quite a while ago, to be fair, and he spoke about it at the point where obviously we didn't know these fixtures and people were questioning why you'd go to Patricio. But it very much feels like the Martinez to Patricio move that weekend will be the right time to do it because Wolves' fixtures turn for the better, Villa's fixtures turns for the worst. So I think it might be a good move and one that I expect a lot of people to do. Dependent on transfer account, of course, but it's a move that I've got penciled in.
So it's a good shout, but I think Martinez is capable of sort of pulling out a man of the match, save tier kind of performance against decent teams. That's what I'd be wary of. Whereas you could maybe move on a Gundogan or whoever to like a Neto.
Yeah, Martinez is the only thing that worries me is the fact that they obviously play Liverpool, Man City, Everton, Man United, Tottenham, Chelsea, Everton. Yeah,
poor Tottenham.
Well, if they keep a clean sheet, then yeah, like you say, I think potentially man of the match. I want to judge it on the basis of who's back for Aston Villa, because if Grealish is back, then possibly a hold. But I just feel like that Wolves move, Neto is hot and cold. Occasionally, he can go big, he'll get you a goal and whatnot. But I just think Patricio might be a better long-term hold. And I don't want to be coming off of this Wolves player when I bring them on because, you know, with the amount of transfers. So for me at the moment, it's Patricio, but it's something to consider, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Right, let's jump on to Chapman. And obviously, another thoroughly enjoyable weekend last week. Mighty Kevin Phillips, once again, doing the business. I got 88 points, which I was chuffed to bits, to be honest, until I saw the several hundred points, particularly from Irons. And obviously his rather orgasmic celebration on the stream twice.
Yeah, what a celebration! I was celebrating with him, to be honest. Fellow Viduka captain, went from basically nothing to everything. Yeah. So you can understand the celebration.
Mate, absolutely. Have you seen the GIF?
I have. I've seen the gift, the remake with the Viduka goal in it. Yeah. I've seen it all.
It's so good. But yeah, in fairness, obviously, I've got Viduka. I captained Phillips. It was the right choice. You know, it would have been a two-point swing, I think. But yeah, Viduka getting those points certainly helped towards the end. He went from, two-pointer to a 16-pointer within 3 minutes. So that was cracking. But obviously, Ronald de Boer did pretty well for me. Janssen did reasonably well. And finally, Sullivan got more points than Jaskalainen. I was a bit worried, obviously, UC being on my bench, probably outscore Sullivan again, but thankfully he didn't. So it sees me get a rank rise, finally, a green arrow, from 115th to 98th. So I think for the first time, oh no, I've done it once in week 7. But other than that, for the first time this season, I'm in the top 100.
Yeah, very good week for you.
How'd you get on then?
Not too bad. It was looking a bit ropey until Viduka pulled out the bag at the end. So 71 points, 32 of those obviously for Viduka. My transfer sort of semi-paid off. I took a -4 hit to bring in De Boer and Pires for Petkov and somebody else. I can't remember. But yeah, it certainly paid off with De Boer getting 9 points. And like they've obviously got 2 home games as well after this home game. So it was a no-brainer for me to bring him in.
Oh, that's understandable.
With Petkov's aways as well. A one-place green arrow for myself, up from 369th to 368th. A bit of an unusual one. That's why I love the game, because you get silly little things like this happening. A one green arrow. But yeah, a great game. Even if I have a shit week, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah, I can't complain at all. And obviously, we had the leak, which the community voted for, and it pissed me off because I don't care about Man United. And I know going that leak is probably, it's forced the 2 moves that I've made, which I'll discuss in a minute. But it was just frustrating to see, obviously, Man United be an option. And as soon as you saw that option, it was obvious that the vast majority of people voting weren't going to go there. And yeah, they did, unfortunately. So we know the full Man United lineup.
Yeah, I was a bit frustrated. I mean, it kind of benefited me in terms of Chadwick, but I'd rather have had the Leeds leak with Ian Hart, obviously, as I own him. Whereas it's a nightmare to predict if he starts. So it would have been handy, but hey-ho, the community has spoken.
They have, yeah. And obviously, there's some interesting stats coming out of this week's games as well, because I think we're looking at it in Villa-Tottenham could be a very exciting game. I think, yeah, it's predicting goals both ways. Arsenal look like they comfortably beat Ipswich. Blackburn look like they play exceptionally well against Sunderland. So that's one to keep an eye on. Liverpool derby seems to be a relatively good game. Leeds, obviously, high scorers against Man City. And also very likely to keep a clean sheet. So if Ian Hart does play, you could be on for a massive haul if you've got him there. The big one is obviously the Man United-Watford game. Man United seem to absolutely smash Watford and are also very likely to keep a clean sheet. So yeah, that leak basically just justifies the Van Nistelrooy owners, the Chadwick owners. And as much as it pained me looking at those stats, I've gone back, James. I've gone back. Van Nistelrooy is in.
See, I thought you were stuck with your fairly decent strike force, but I'm guessing it's Janssen that's made way, is it?
Or no. No, I wouldn't have been able to afford that. No, Kevin Phillips has gone for me this week.
Ooh, he's done your business for you, I guess. But
After his 2 hat-tricks, the stats don't look particularly impressive this week. But I'm actually considering just doing the hokey-cokey off of like big-name defenders now, because big-name forwards, because it feels like that's where the points are. And obviously we've saw the Phillips hole, we've saw the Viduka hole. Van Nistelrooy, he's going to be massively owned this week. So for me, if I want to continue into that top 100, I just had to go back. So he's in and he's captain. I've also taken a hit because I really like the stats of Chadwick. And I've not owned him this season. So the fact that the leak showed that he started, I thought, you know what, let's have a bit of a punt. So, yeah, Chadwick has come in for Pires for me this week. And again, happy to do the hokey-cokey as and when on that range of midfielders. I've got 1.5 million in the bank, so I've left that money there. But, yeah, hopefully Van Nistelrooy and Chadwick can repay the fact that I've gone with that shit leak. And, yeah, brought them both in.
Well, yeah, I hope you haven't cursed them. I own both of them. So hopefully, yeah, we're celebrating on the stream tomorrow.
Honestly, fucking hope not. And then obviously we've got the community team that's going on. So we've got the wild card is in progress. obviously the guys have been voting, which has actually been quite fun to do, to be honest. We've got two players left to select at the time of recording, so it'll be good to see which ones go there. There's a midfielder poll out at the moment. Not sure how that's going. I'd have to check. But at the moment, obviously, it's Jeskalainen and Dimitrios. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his surname, but the new Everton goalkeeper, he's in. They've obviously got Ian Hart, Tome, Doherty and Southgate at the moment is the back four, waiting on that fifth defender. We've got Brian Hughes, Zepeda, Archer and De Boer in midfield, again, waiting for that fifth midfielder. And then crack and strike force, to be honest, Van Nistelrooy, Phillips and Jason Yeol at the moment. So looking forward to it. And
pretty strong.
Yeah, and the old hashtag Team Humanity seems to have come about because we're going up against Panda for the rest of the season. And between him and Steve Bird, they've come up with the hashtag Team Skynet because obviously it's his algorithm spreadsheet team. So come on, Team fucking Humanity. We're going to smash them.
That's the spirit.
Absolutely. Have you made any moves in Chapman this week, mate?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to be looking at it after the stream, actually, funnily enough. I'll give CM Fantasy's sim data a watch. I'll take it in. But yeah, I'll likely be captain and Rude. With regards to transfers, I'm not sure, to be honest. What I might do is remove Issa just so I have that flexibility to get Arca if I want to.
Yeah, no, that seems fair.
Because currently I'm on that triple Sunderland where it prevents me from doing that. If I ever want Arca, I can't get to him without a hit. So
yeah,
I might do a boring transfer like that, just taking out Issa and bringing in, say, a defender that's playing at home potentially this week, and then that enables me to move a mid to Arca.
I think that's a good idea. It's been painful seeing those Arca points come in. Obviously, I've had Phillips, so it's been brilliant. But I had Arca for much of the beginning of the season, and then I locked myself in with the three Sunderland. So yeah, now I've got that flexibility again if I did want to bring Arca instead of Phillips. So it's one to look at. Right. Whilst we've been recording, obviously I left the questions open because we didn't have questions to start with. We've now got four, James. So should we get them done? All right. First things first. Question in from FPL Dragon. Who would you say are the five best defenders to have on a wild card in Champman?
First one that springs to mind is Tome, just because of his price and performance.
I'd probably Cooper, say
for a bonus, I'd say. He's not been too good recently, but overall, I'd say Cooper.
Yeah.
And then Silvestre, I think, has got to be in there.
Agreed.
And then a Terry and a Hippier?
Yeah. It depends on how much budget you want to throw in there, I guess. But for instance, like Gary Doherty is just, flying with.
Forgot about
Doherty. Obviously, only 4.5 million. So a very good option there. You've got the like a Southgate that pop up with, bonus points consistently. But yeah, I think if you're in and around those names, mate, I think you'll be well in there. Just make sure you've got the right balance. I think generally you probably want at least two 4.5 mil defenders to allow a bit of flexibility across the rest of your squad. So, potentially Tome and Doherty could be those two. And then you've got flexibility in picking a big three. Right, next question in, and it is in from Alan, FPL Diagnosis. So what players would you target for game weeks 29 and 30 in FPL? Are any of them actually worthy of a hit?
I don't think many would be worthy of a hit.
Agreed.
But it's tough. Like, obviously, Brighton's fixture against Newcastle was quite tasty. But then they have Man United away, so it's tricky.
I think the only hit I'm considering is for Leeds players. They've obviously got Fulham on Friday, but then their next fixture is against Sheffield United. And after watching that performance against Leicester, Leeds could very much do the same. So at the moment, I've only got Rafinha. I'm very tempted just to bring in both Bamford and Dallas this week for a minus four.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you. Like, those, I think, are the tastiest, double of fixtures. I mean, I'm quite impressed with Jack Harrison whenever he actually sort of plays. I think he could be a very good punt if you're wanting to, say, go a bit different. But, yeah, Leeds, I think, is a good shout.
Yeah, agreed. Right, we've got... here we go. Long time no see, mate. It's a question in from Ronarid9.
Oh, legend.
No, no. It's been a while, so apologies, chaps. Yeah, no worries. Should I wildcard in game week 30 or game week 31?
I'm thinking about this.
I had a feeling you were.
Yeah, because I think Wolves have a fairly tricky fixture on the 30th, but then their fixture on the 31 is a little bit better. Yeah. So their good run sort of starts from 31.
Yeah.
Same. So I wouldn't mind doing a Wolves triple up from 31 because they've got great fixtures. You could get on Neto. I mean, Traore is actually now starting to play if you wanted to punt. Obviously Patricio should be back if you're looking for a keeper, but I won't be looking for a keeper. I've got Martinez. I'm happy with Martinez. But yeah, I think 30 is tricky, but maybe 31 I'm tempted because my team doesn't look too bad for 30. I've got like the likes of obviously Bamford and all that lot playing in 30.
Yeah, I think 31 for me if I had it, because obviously you've mentioned there, but I think both Leicester and Arsenal have also got good fixtures from game week 31, much like Wolves. There's a good swing. Whereas obviously Leicester in 30, they play Man City, Arsenal play Liverpool. But the following week, Arsenal then play Sheffield United and Leicester play West Ham. So
exactly.
Good fixture swing. So yeah, for me, I'd probably hold off and then go 31. And then you never know, the Premier League might have sorted their act together and book in these fixtures that were still missing. So obviously the Villa-Everton game, we're still waiting on that being rearranged. We might know by then. Who knows? Right, and then final question is in from Steve Bird. Now, see, I don't even know if I want to talk to Steve anymore because he's on the dark side. He's gone Team Skynet, which is really wound me up, Steve, to be honest. But here we go. First things first, Skynet versus Humanity predictions. Well, obviously, Team Humanity, mate.
Exactly, Team Humanity.
Team Humanity all the fucking way. Easy. Right, and then he's got a couple of questions here. Or no, a question about, I'm guessing, his club, you know, an FPL-related question. It's, how can Newcastle actually stay up? Any ideas? If so, please send them directly to St. James's Park. They don't have any up there.
Get Callum Wilson back as soon as possible.
I think this Brighton fixture will be huge. Absolutely huge for Newcastle. If they can get something from that Brighton fixture, I think there's every chance that they stay up.
Yeah, very much so. They've got to take things from that crucial fixture. Perhaps they change things about a bit. I think Bruce maybe gets stuck in his ways a little bit, or I don't know. It's a tough one. Like they are in danger.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Newcastle, when they play well, then you know they look quite sharp. And there are some massive games in the final run for Newcastle, Steve, as you're probably well aware. But obviously, you've got Brighton. If you can get anything from that, brilliant. You've got Burnley away, kind of a must win. Those last two games of the season, though, Sheffield United at home, Fulham away. Obviously, you'll be hoping that it doesn't come down to crunch time. But if it is, those are two winnable games and games that you'll have to go in absolutely firing.
Yeah, I mean, potentially they could start Dwight Gayle. I mean, Lewis Dunk and Dan Byrne aren't the fastest defenders in the world. So potentially you could try and use some sort of the pacey players that they have that are actually fit against Brighton.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and breaking news, the 14th player into Team Humanity is Luke Chadwick. He's just won the midfielder poll. So it actually gives us a bit more money to spend on that final defender. Had they picked any of the other ones, it would have been Galley because we've only got 4 million left. We've now got 6 million left. So a bit of leeway. So yeah, looking quite good. I think, yeah, we've got this. Right. I think that brings the pod to an end, mate. We've got obviously... the early deadline on Friday that everybody needs to be aware of. Make sure you lock in your captains for Sky. Make sure you make your decisions and your FPL transfers before that. But other than that, I don't think there's a lot left to say other than good luck for the game week, folks. So it's a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.